Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. Giving glory and honor and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I count it a blessing to again proclaim the Word of God. Psalm chapter 37. I'm reading from the New King James Version as usual. And I want us to read starting at verse 23 on down through verse 29, where our focus this morning will be on verses 27 through 29. Psalm 37, starting at verse 23, reads, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice, and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell in it forever." Psalm 37, verses 23 through 29. May God bless the reading of his word. We read 23 through 29, but as was said before, let's focus on verses 27 through 29 here. "Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever." And we just want to speak for a brief moment here from the message titled, "God Loves Justice." God loves justice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you. God, we need you, O Heavenly Father, in this world. We need you, Lord God, in this country. We need you, Lord God, in our communities. And God, we know what you love, and we know what you hate, and we know it because you've told us so. And God, we live in a world that is filled with injustice, but we know that you are the God of justice, and we know that you love justice. And so, Lord God, we pray, O Heavenly Father, as we go into your word, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. And we pray, Lord God, that our hearts, our ears are open, that our eyes are open to be able, Lord God, to see and to hear and to then be doers of your word. God, your word gives us direction. Your word gives us power. Your word gives us authority. And God, it is by your word that we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. The Italian artist Leonardo da Vinci is famous for his paintings like the Mona Lisa. And there are many other murals that he did during his lifetime over 500 years ago. But one of the most famous of his works was a mural depicting the Lord's Supper. It was painted on a wall in a large Catholic church in Milan, there in northern Italy. You all have probably seen a photo of it at some point. The mural, The Last Supper, depicts Jesus. He's sitting at the center of the table with the disciples sitting on either side. And the expressions on their faces show the reaction of each disciple after Jesus said one of them would betray him. And when you study the painting, you will see that all 12 of the disciples have different reactions to this news, to what Jesus has said, with varying degrees of anger and shock. And even though the people in this painting were all European looking, and Jesus and his disciples were definitely not European, most people still base their imagination and their mental image of what Jesus and the disciples might have looked like from Da Vinci's painting, The Last Supper. But there is a personal story about this painting that has been told over the years, and only God knows how true the story is. We do know for sure that it took years for Da Vinci to paint this mural, The Last Supper. But the story is told that Da Vinci had waited to paint in the faces of Jesus and Judas last. He had already painted much of the background and had painted in the faces of the other disciples, but Da Vinci was saving painting in the faces of Jesus and Judas for last. But the story is told that while Da Vinci was working on the painting, Da Vinci had gotten into an argument with a fellow painter. It was said that Da Vinci was so mad at this man that in anger and out of spite, Da Vinci painted that man's face as the face of Judas in his mural, The Last Supper. But then, after having completed the face of Judas using the face of his adversary, Da Vinci turned to paint the face of Jesus and found that he could not do it. He couldn't visualize it. Da Vinci couldn't get the inspiration to paint the face of Jesus. The artistic inspiration just would not come. It is said that Da Vinci put down his paintbrush and went to find the painter that he had argued with, and Leonardo da Vinci forgave the man. They both apologized, and they reconciled with one another. The story says that Da Vinci went back to the mural and painted out the face of that man as Judas. He undid what he had done with the face of Judas, and then after that, Da Vinci turned to the face of Jesus and was able to work on the face of Jesus. It's simple and yet profound that when Da Vinci moved past his right to take revenge and made the right response instead, Da Vinci broke the power of anger and hatred and allowed the love of Christ to have the last word. This past week has been a rough one for our nation, and I recognize and realize that I was angry a lot this past week. Angry about injustice. Angry that so many politicians did not care enough about the lives of people that they are leading, just pushing them back into restaurants, back into stores, and back into churches while the danger of COVID-19 still runs rampant. Angry about injustice, angry that 100,000 here in our country have died from this COVID-19 and many more becoming seriously ill because of a total lack of coordination, organization, and leadership in this country. Angry about injustice, angry that a white woman named Amy Cooper was angry that a black man in Central Park in New York had dared tell her that the park rule was that she needed to put her loose dog on a leash, and she responded by calling the police on him and pretending on the phone that this African-American man was threatening her. Angry that a black man named Ahmed Arbery was killed 3 months ago by two white vigilantes who decided to take the law into their own hands only to have their buddies with the local police and district attorney suppress the video evidence of their crime and refuse for months to press charges. Angry that a black woman named Breonna Taylor was shot 8 times in her own home because the police raided the wrong home and all the local officials could say was just, oops, that's too bad, I hate it when that happens. And then angry that after some time ago, a police officer in New York killing a black man named Eric Garner because he was illegally selling a cigarette, after hearing this man cry out, I can't breathe, we now again have another black man named George Floyd crying out those very same words, I can't breathe, all because he allegedly passed a fake $20 bill or check. He found himself with a knee pressed against his neck by one police officer while lying on the ground handcuffed behind his back, with three other police officers, all sworn to protect and serve, allowing this to happen. And these were all events that have occurred not over the past 7 weeks or the past 7 months, but the past 7 days. And I was brought to this passage of Scripture about to be angry, but sin not. And in considering the anger that I and that almost all of us probably feel, it occurred to me that the source of our anger was really grief. Grief that the pursuit of monetary gain and hatred blinds the vision of men. Grief that many that tolerated government policies that supported spending millions of dollars a day on weapons of war and sending our fine soldiers into Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran, these same politicians are dragging their feet now about continuing to spend any more money to provide unemployment benefits and health care to its own 40 million citizens that are unemployed for no fault of their own. Grief is our natural reaction to a loss. And this grief that I have experienced and that you have experienced is in reaction to the loss of genuine justice, not just worldwide, but in our country here in particular. Now, grief is normal, but what you do with it is either constructive or destructive. And anger is our natural reaction to a threat, whether a real threat or perceived threat. Anger is normal. But what you do with it is either constructive or destructive. And this anger that I have experienced and that you have experienced is in reaction to the loss of real justice. Our God says in Amos chapter 5 to let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Justice means putting things right again. Justice means fixing, repairing, and restoring what has been broken. Justice means doing the right thing no matter the circumstances. And when we read through our Bible, we can only come away with the knowledge that our God is a God of justice. He is no respecter of persons when it comes to justice. God holds all individuals accountable, and he is not turning a blind eye. Both the rich and the poor are held accountable for justice. Kings, presidents, prime ministers, and politicians, military generals are all held accountable for justice. God expects the nations and their people to govern with justice. You know, the late Vice President Hubert Humphrey seemed to capture this when he said that the true test of any society is how they treat those in the dawn of life, the children, those who are in the twilight of life, the elderly, and those who are in the shadows of life, the sick, the needy, and the handicapped. Injustice will not stand. And the Bible is filled with story after story of God righting injustice. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, God righted that injustice. When Daniel's three friends were thrown into the burning fiery furnace, God righted that injustice. When Paul and Silas were thrown into jail, God righted that injustice. And that brings us to our text this morning. It reads, starting at verse 27, "Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever." Verse 27 says to depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. And God is saying that if you really want to have eternal life, that if you really want to dwell forevermore, then there's something that you need to stop doing, evil, and then there's something that you need to start doing, good. It's simple, but it's profound. But then in all three of these verses here, 27, 28, and 29, there is a common theme, a common thread, and that common theme and common thread is the word forever. Dwell forevermore. Preserved forever, inheriting the land and dwelling in it forever. The only people who will be able to do this are God's people, because we serve a forever God, and he wants his people to be a forever people. So this morning there is a question for all of us. Whose side are you on? Are you on God's side? Because if you are on God's side, you love justice because God loves justice. If you are on God's side, you are departing from evil. If you are on God's side, you are doing good. And if you are on God's side, you will dwell forevermore. So repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will reap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So listen to me, your brother, this morning. If you are inclined to hate because of what is happening around this country, what is happening around this world, God will hold you accountable for that. Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. As our late brother Hagins would say to us today, if he were still with us, don't take what the devil has to offer you. The people of God are called to seek justice, not for themselves, but also for others. The people of God are called to practice justice, not for themselves, but also for others. Not justice if you have enough money, not justice if you are a certain race, not justice if you're connected to the right people. It may not look like it to you, but God is working it out right now. And he is trying to show us how to take dominion over any situation, to show us what real power looks like. Because we do have the power. We do have the authority. You just need to look to God-given wisdom and the power of his word and his spirit to access it. So don't take what the devil has to offer you. You are the head. So do not respond to all of this by acting like the tail. You are above. So do not respond to all of this by acting like you are beneath. Depart from evil, as the scripture says, and do good, and dwell forevermore. So as I move to my conclusion here, justice most simply means putting things right again, fixing, repairing, and restoring what has been broken. And God loves justice. God has a solution to the injustice of mankind, and that solution is Jesus Christ. Yes, black lives matter. White lives matter. Brown lives matter. All lives matter. Those lives matter so much that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. And by sending his son Jesus, who was fully righteous and just, to take the punishment on the cross for the sins of the guilty, God has made it so that all people can stand right, righteous and just before him, because God loves justice. God sees all and he knows all, and God desires justice for all. So as we leave this call and not God's presence, let us leave determined to seek and support justice for all, because God loves justice. Justice for you, justice for me, justice for us all. Now it's been 522 years since Da Vinci finished that mural there in Milan. I hope to one day be able to see it with my own eyes, that mural, The Last Supper. It's been damaged over the years by age, and it has been damaged by war. But that painting remains as one of the most recognizable images, just as famous as Da Vinci's Mona Lisa. But it was when Da Vinci moved past his right to take revenge, or his perceived right to take revenge, and made the right respond instead, Da Vinci broke the power of anger and hatred and allow the love of Christ to have the last word. And we can do the same today. So depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the wicked shall be cut off and the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, O God, we thank you. God, we thank you for your word and the power of your word. God, we thank you because you are a God of justice. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you in your justice and your righteousness, Lord God, will continue, O Heavenly Father, to do what is right and what is just. So we pray, Lord God, for our nation. We pray, Lord God, for this world. We pray that justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. We pray, O Heavenly Father, to you that knows all and that sees all and that is able, Lord God, to allow us, Lord, to continue to go forth, to continue to shine, to continue to do great things because you are with us and will not leave us nor forsake us. God, we thank you for who you are. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Are all hearts and minds clear? Did anyone have anything that they wanted to share with the group before we dismiss?
This is Beverly. I just want to make an announcement. We'll be returning back to work tomorrow. I was quarantined for 14 days because of my coworker. So I just found out this week I'll be returning back starting tomorrow.
Very good, very good. We'll be praying for you and praying for everyone that's there as they go back to work.
Appreciate it.
Anyone else? Are all hearts and minds clear?
This is Angela. I just want to thank you for that word. I definitely, definitely needed that. Thank you.
I was going to say the same thing, Angela. That's something I really needed because I am extremely angry. So I really needed that. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I needed it, that's for sure.
Thank you, Pastor. This is Louise. I really, really needed it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say something. I think we all needed that because we're getting too comfortable with what's happening with the society now, and we have to go and ask God to heal us, heal the community, heal the society, because we are all out here lost. It's devastating what happened to that man, too, but we are suffering here inside too, so we have to really ask God to help us through this and help the protesters get the justice they need, but also for that man's family members, his children, his girlfriend, everybody who's involved was affected by this man passing the way he had passed. It's devastating to me, and the protesters it's definitely getting out of hand, but they'll venture calm down too. But we really need to pull together, especially with all that's happening with the pandemic and everything. We need to stay strong.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for the word, Pastor Jay. That was a timely message. Yes, it hurts my heart to see what's been happening, not just this week, but for years. You know, just praying for, like, what's a biblical response for us as Christians, for the body of Christ, just here, just starting with Apopka, like, what can we do as a church to respond to what's happening in our society and how race relations, you know, at one point we thought it might be getting better, but it's just getting worse, you know, it's getting, especially under certain political administration. So what are we called to do as a church to make change, to be agents of change in Apopka, in Orange County, in Florida, this country, you know, just, you know, praying about that, like what would God have us do? Because in our fleshly selves, in our worldly, carnal, fleshly selves, we can, you know, riot and destroy the whole city if we wanted to, but is that what God called us to do? Is that what God wants us to do? So just thank you for the word and give us something more to pray about.
Amen.
Dwayne, thank you so much for what you just said. As soon as you said that, it just made me think all this starts at the top, right? Leadership sets the tone for, you know, racism or anti-racism. And unfortunately, I feel like we are called to vote. That is probably one of the things, and we should pray about it as a church, what God would lead us to do. But first and foremost, after prayer, I feel like it's vote. How do we get more people to vote? Because all those people that are out there rioting, if all of them were registered to vote or all of them would start registering people to vote, our leadership at the top would not be the same. So that, you know, I would just encourage all of us to just pray as a church. Like you said, that this thing should be coming from the church. What can we do as a church to help the situation? And, you know, we have an election in November, and it's not just the top of the ballot. It has to go all the way down, because there are enablers that are not at the top of the ticket that we kind of need to change. So I would just ask that you guys pray for what can we do. But my immediate response is vote and get others to vote, especially people in our community.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else?
Yes, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the word this morning, Pastor. I just want to say that we ask ourselves, what can the church do? And the scripture has already told us what to do. When he spoke and said, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. You know? And he told us that he will heal the land. And the church, the body of Christ, we need to come together in prayer, fasting in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see a change. And I'm so hurt and disappointed by so many that profess to be Christians, ones that are called by his name, they say. They are not doing, and they are falling behind leaders. And the word that you started off tonight, or today, says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if you got a leader that says one thing and the steps are not professed or show what the Lord has given us and told us to do and how to do it, you know, then we need to see that and not follow behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It is time. We may have a group, a congregation of people here at Unity, Bethel and First Baptist and all of these things, but we need to hear the word where someone is just asking us all to come together in prayer, come together and to fast and pray. We can see a change.
Amen.
See, we can see a change. Amen. So we thank you for the word, and let us all, we can start with unity itself and come together and let us fast and pray. That don't mean we have to organize, you know, and say everybody's going to fast at 5 o'clock tomorrow or today, but if we do it within ourselves, we will be together.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we will see the change. And it may have to start with one body, because we're all connected. Amen?
Amen.
The left hand begin it, then soon it's going to get to the right hand.
Yep.
And it's going to get to the left foot and the right foot. But it's all, we're all connected. God bless you all. Let us continue to pray. Let us continue to hold each other up
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Minister Allen, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and close, but I want to ask you as we close here, if you would end this call with prayer as we've indicated. As Pastor Hargrove has indicated, as we've all have indicated, if my people are called, who are called by my name,
right,
humble themselves and pray, seek God's face, turn from their wicked ways, he will hear from heaven and will heal the land. So I'm going to ask you, Minister Allen, if you would, just lead us in prayer at this time.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, we come to you today, Lord, with bowed heads and humble hearts. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come before the throne of grace, to ask of you, Father God, to have mercy upon us, Father God. Lead us, guide us in the pathway of righteousness. Order our steps, Father God, that we may go out into this world, Lord, to lead our people, your people, Father God, into the pathway of righteousness, Lord. Allow us to be lights, Father God, to a city of darkness, to a state of darkness, to a country of darkness, to a world of darkness, Father God, that we may be a light that shines not toward ourselves but toward you, Lord. Only your word, only your being, only who you are, Father God, can lead us to healing, Father God. Father God, we humble ourselves, we submit ourselves to you and your word, Father God. We pray, Lord, that you continue to lead us and order our steps, Lord. Allow this country to heal, Lord. Allow the righteous, Father God, to step up, Father God. Allow those who have a voice to speak, Lord. Allow those who have evil in their heart, Father God, to understand, Lord, in the hatred and the anger right now, Father God, to direct that into a pathway, Lord, that will lead to some kind of understanding, Lord. Lead that into the way that we can heal and to positively direct ourselves, Lord, that we can bring justice and righteousness to our country, Lord. Lord, we know that you're capable of doing all things. We know that you have all power in your hands, Lord. You can heal the sick. You can heal the blind, Father God. And we know that you can heal this land. With all that is going on right now, Father God, we turn to you, Lord, because we know that you are our true and ever living God, that you are sit up high and look down low, Father God. You know each and all of us by our name, Lord, and that you can come through, Father God, and touch us in a way that we can never be touched before, Father God. And just give us that strength. Give us the courage, Father God, to speak, Lord, to this world that is in need of a word that is of you, Lord. Allow us to be that light. Allow us to be the glow to this world, Father God, that they can see and see hope, Father God, in a dark area. Father God, we pray for the families of those who are hurting right now, those who are mourning the death of a loved one. We pray for our brothers and sisters that are in prison right now, Father God. We pray for our brothers and sisters that are in the hospital bed. We pray for our brothers and sisters that are homeless and those that who are just angry right now, Lord. Have your way right now, Father God, in this world. Speak to us as you never spoke to us before, Father God. Move us like you have never moved us before. Just have your way within our lives right now, Father God. Have your way within this world and within our communities, Lord. And please, Father God, stir up a fire within us, Father God, that we cannot remain silent, that we must speak to the people, Father God, of this community, and that we can allow your word to resonate and create the change, Father God, and humble us, Lord, just to continue to seek your face and pray. Give us the strength to fast, Father God. Give us the strength, Father God, to do what you have called us to do. And we say this prayer in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right.
Amen.
May God bless you and God keep you. We'll certainly be praying and fasting.
Amen.
Take care.
All right. Take care. Be blessed.
Bye.
Take care and God bless you all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.